healing. Beginning in verse 22 of Luke 8. Remember his mother and his brothers tried to get to him and were somewhat of a distraction, seeking to interfere. So not impolitely, but needfully, he gives them a mild rebuke when he says, "My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." Again, Mark says on the same night, same day in the evening now, it says that it came to pass on a certain day, again, on that particular day, that Jesus went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake." So they're now heading to the southeast side of the Sea of Galilee, which is about 13 miles long and about 8 miles wide. It's kind of a finger lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, Jesus fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake. They were filled with water, and they were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master," there's that double address again that you find from Genesis to Revelation. That's a term of intimacy, but it's also a term of urgency. "Master, Master, we perish." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And Jesus said unto them, "Where is your faith?" And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him." And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. Well, we just sang, "Art thou afraid?" And we sang the words, for instance, that even when storms arise, that the Lord is there to still our hearts. Whether it be an evil day, a day of calamity, he gives the conquest to the weak and supports the fainting heart. He is the one who's the rock of ages that stands. And he's the one that in the storms of life never weakens and fails his people. What do we call this section? Normally it's called the stilling of the storm. But it's also really the stilling of the disciples. If you read the story and read all three accounts, they were afraid of the storm, but they ended up being more afraid of Jesus. It doesn't say that they feared the storm exceedingly. It says that they feared Jesus exceedingly. And so you wonder why the Lord allows storms and miracles, that we might regard his person even more than ever. And so I suppose we should expect a storm when our regard for the Lord has lowered and lessened. Jesus performs miracles dealing with the biological order, but we're shown that he performs miracles in the creation order. There's no order that Jesus is not sovereign over, the natural order and the unnatural order. He's the Lord of the air, he's the Lord of the land, and he's the Lord of the sea. Great psalm of the Lord Jehovah being sovereign over the seas is found in Psalm 107, for instance. The billows are tremendously fearful to seafarers. The Lord stills them. I encourage you to go on YouTube and watch for storms on the ocean. See those waves that are 50 to 100 feet high, and these ships that are football fields long, and the captains are way high above the water, and the water coming and just the deluge on the screen or on the windshield of those huge tankers. And every single time a huge wave hits, you wonder, is it going to topple that ship? The Lord can just topple it over. And yet Jesus walked on the billows of the water in a storm. He didn't walk on a glass sea. Jesus, in the middle of the night, walked on top of the crests of the waves. The stilling of the storm and the stilling of the seafarers. I'd like us to just think of a few points from this message, from this passage. Trials are ordained by God. The Bible tells us that Jesus led them into the path that included the storm. He was not unaware of a storm that was going to hit. He said, "Let us go over to the other side." He could have waited till the morning. He could have waited until it was light, until the storm was over. He knew what awaited them. You say, "How do I know that?" He's the Son of God. And I don't believe that his deity did not inform his humanity. He knew that the storm was coming. Whether or not Satan generated it, we don't know. Because the Bible says Jesus rebuked the storm. And that's usually a term of rebuking a person or a demon. It's very possible that the devil generated that storm. And I want to remind us again, there were little ships, other smaller boats that were around. I don't know if they were other disciples or they were just people fishing, but there are other little boats. There are large boats. And there are small boats. There are large churches and there are small churches. Jesus said, remember, "Fear not, little flock, for it is of the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." But what I want us to see is churches are together. True living churches should be in fellowship. If one church is affected by a storm, so should the other be. We should feel with the body of Christ whenever other ships are affected. All of us should be affected. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that tests are common to man because of the fall of man and the fact that we're in a sinful world. There's no temptation. The word is test. There's no test that is, no temptation that is sorry, there's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tested above you or the able, whether it's a test or a temptation. He will not suffer you to be tested or tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation or the test make a way to escape, literally the way to escape, that you might be able to bear it. So I just want to remind us, this trial was ordained by God. It was not a mistake. There are no mistakes in the will of God. You walk with God and He's going to ordain tests, trials, even allow temptations from the devil. Don't think that it's a strange thing. But the caution is, make sure you're in the will of God. You don't want to be in a storm as a backslidden believer. I suppose the most dangerous plane flight is if you're on the flight with a backslidden Christian. Don't get on a plane flight if you're away from the Lord. You're endangering the whole crew and all the passengers. Just ask Jonah's mariners. Secondly, trials are assisted. Jesus was with them in the boat. He's with us in the trial. It says He went with them into the ship. Let alone He was asleep. That tells you at least a couple things. The only time in the New Testament that tells us that He was asleep. The Bible says God doesn't sleep. And so, you cultists that say, see, Jesus isn't God, He was asleep. You know not the Scriptures. He is God and man. And as man, He slept and He ate. And He cried, and He laughed. So Jesus was asleep because He was tired. It was the same night, Mark 4:35, after He had spoken all those parables and performed miracles. But may I also appeal to you, as another man said, this tells me that Jesus had complete peace in His soul. That He wasn't afraid of the storm that He knew was coming. There was no sin in Jesus. You and I get afraid of storms and trials. Our heart becomes fearful because we know we're sinners and we think, what did I do? Or do I have a secret sin or an unconfessed sin? And things. When we get in trouble, when we have afflictions, we start to fear because we know that we are sinners still. And because we're not trusting as we ought. But He had absolute peace that He could fall asleep. Could you fall asleep if you knew there was a typhoon coming? Could you fall asleep if you knew there were going to be an airplane that was going to have tremendous turbulence? How will you and I be in the turbulence of an airplane or the billows of a boat when everyone else is worried? Paul was able to pray during a typhoon and have peace with God. You know, it was still windy and noisy and dangerous when Paul preached to the people on the ship. You can see him trying to hold on to something, being battered by the winds and the rain. You should have listened to me. You shouldn't have left the island. But I believe God. It shall be even as He said. None of us will die in this ship. But the shipmaster and the ship owner, you're going to lose your ship. None of our lives but the ship. Trials are assisted. Always remember, He will never leave us nor forsake us. Though we go through the valley of the shadow of death, Thou art with me. Got to keep that in mind. So important for us to memorize Scripture, even those brief texts. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Help. You can imagine the butterflies I had yesterday. About 90% of the people at the wedding were total strangers to me. But I knew the Lord was with me. I knew my wife was there to give some encouragement. I didn't know if there was any other believer, just two that I knew of. But I knew this, the Lord was with us. I have had many funerals that not one person that I could tell was saved in those chairs. And as I sat waiting to go to their little podium, I can remember quoting Isaiah 41:10 so many times, like as a junior at West Virginia University, downtown on Friday afternoons before handing out literature. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That text has buoyed my soul hundreds of times, facing struggles and difficulties and tests. And so it is for you, I trust. Maybe you have another verse, but those verses are powerful, powerful strengthenings to our soul. Trials are ordained by God. Trials are assisted by the Lord. Thirdly, trials are difficult. Some of them are very difficult. The Sea of Galilee is like it's in a hollow. It's one of those lakes that the storms come quickly. It's 700 feet below sea level. It's in a basin. And the storms come whisking down the corridors from Mount Hermon and whip up a storm in no time. You can embark, you can set sail, total calm and looking like there's going to be clear sailing. But you remember in those days, they didn't have www.weather.com. But they couldn't help them either, because every time it seems like we look at it, it's going to be sunny today, it starts to rain. And who was it that said that the man who was a weatherman said that I'm paid whether I'm right or wrong? It's a government employee. But they didn't have weather reports. There are places, there are lakes that we know of that you got to be careful. We are in a canoe, of all things, on Henderson Harbor off Lake Ontario many years ago. Beautiful morning as we sailed in our little canoe with two oars, with two decent-sized tackle boxes, and two fishing poles, and two life preservers. And we were having a ball. And we were right in the middle of Henderson Harbor when out of nowhere came gusts of wind and a storm and high waves. I thought we were done for. I can remember looking this way and there were high rock walls. We can't go that way. Way behind us was the shore where we set sail. Way over here, it just seemed like forever. And that way was Lake Ontario. I don't know how we got back. We were this close to what they did in Acts 27 to cast their tackling overboard, yelling at each other. You're working against me. No, you're working against me. And the Lord got us back. He didn't want me dead in hell. Jesus wanted me to be saved from my sins. But trials are difficult. The lake is 84 feet deep. on average in 144 feet, which seems shallow compared to some of our finger lakes. One of you was saying that one of the finger lakes is 600 feet deep. May I say, it's not so easy for lakes that deep to be whipped up quickly, like a lake that's only 84 feet deep. But Sea of Galilee, Lake Gennesaret, has often storms that bring you to exhaustion and exasperation. Some of our trials bring us to the brink of exasperation. The Bible tells us that the boat was covered with the waves, that the waves beat into the ship, that they were in jeopardy. That's a fearful word. What does that mean? They thought, we're going to perish. Lord, we're going to die. We can't survive this. And remember, at least three or four fishermen were experienced on that lake. They were in storms before, but this was the storm of storms, as you've heard some of the hurricanes in the past, the storm of the century. Somebody down in Florida called it the event of 1,000 years. How does he know? They've only had records of about 100. He was trying to scare everybody away from the coast. But this was not a normal storm. Trials are difficult. We wonder, Lord, how can I get through this? How can I get through this illness? How can I get through this death? How can I get through this persecution? How can I get through this disappointment? How, Lord? I can't. It's a dark tunnel. It's narrow. I don't see the other side. I don't see the end of the tunnel. I don't have a light. Lighten my darkness, Lord. Those times are good for our souls because we're leaning on the Lord. It was good for them to have to go over to Jesus in the back of the ship. Master, Master. Three different names or titles are given by the three evangelists. Matthew, it says, Lord. Mark, Teacher. Luke, Master, Master. And here the critics say, see, they're all in contradiction of each other. Matthew says, Lord. Mark says, Teacher. Luke says, Master. What's your answer, preacher? There were 12 people on the boat. Not everybody referred to the same title or name. How do you address the Lord in prayer? You might say Lord this morning. You might say Jesus. You might say Master. You might say Teacher. You might say the Rose of Sharon. But they came to him and awoke him. Save us. We're doomed. We're in jeopardy. See the disciples. You see, they're useful trials. Fourthly, they sought the Lord in the trial. How often it is when we're not tried, we don't seek the Lord. We can handle it. We can roll ourselves along. We can get to the other side. But this boat was not moving. They were probably moving in the reverse direction. They thought they were going down. It forced them to pray. It forced them to seek the Lord. Thank God for trials. They drive us to our knees. Don't let them drive us away from the Lord. The devil wants you to walk away from the Lord in your trial. Fall on your face in your trial. They're hard, but they're useful. They facilitate prayer. Thank God for the times that He facilitates prayer. Tell me, does it always facilitate your prayer when you get a blessing? What's the percentage of the time when we have a blessing that we fall on our face and thank the Lord. 10%? What's the percentage of time that we pray when we're afflicted? I hope 100%. But we ought to increase the percentage of time seeking the Lord when a check comes in the mail, not a bill. When the doctor says your health is well, is going well. When you get a good phone call. When you're getting a south wind blowing. We should still be falling on our faces. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your good. Let's indeed pray. You are the Lord of the land and the sea. You're my teacher. Or why do they call him teacher in that storm? Teach me about what I'm to learn from this. Master, you're my master. You're the one in control. That's like sovereign. They came to him and awoke him. Our God doesn't sleep. He's always awake. He's always there to hear your prayer, your cry. We often don't hear his cry. We don't often hear his word. He always hears our words. Fifthly, trials are limited in nature. Again, God will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Jesus can end the trial at any moment. I love what Matthew records that Mark and Luke don't. When did Jesus talk to his disciples? Matthew and Luke seem to indicate that Jesus talked to the disciples after he stilled the storm. Mark and Luke say that he spoke to the disciples after the storm. Look with me in Matthew 8. Matthew 8, verse 25, the disciples came to Jesus and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the wind. So you see, you put them all together. Just like Paul. Paul didn't say, I told you so, after the storm was over, or after they were shipwrecked and they were safely on land. Paul's hanging on to something. Now there's not much hanging strong. There's not much that's stabilized. But he's talking to them in the storm. Hopefully they're listening. He's got a scream. You can imagine how loud that typhoon was, the waves and the wind, and maybe the screams of the sailors and mariners. I told you you shouldn't listen to me. He had to bellow it out. And so did Jesus. He's still in the storm, and you can hear his loud, powerful. As Luke says, he commands the wind and the sea. But here he's commanding his disciples. Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? The word little faith is one word. One word. O little faith ones. O allegapistoi. Little faiths. Allegapistoi. You allegapistoi, and that's what the Lord would say to you and me. We're allegapistoi. We're little faiths. Lord, make me a bigger faith person. Make me a mega apostoi. Then, arising, he rebuked the wind and the sea. Isn't that amazing? He spoke to the disciples first. He went to still the disciples, still the seafarers, before he stilled the sea. That's like Jesus. He's not worried about the who's causing the trial. Lord, the devil's after me. I got him on a long leash. Don't worry about him. I'm concerned about you. Don't fear the devil. Don't fear the trial. Don't fear the sickness. Don't fear the persecution. That's all ordained by me. Fear me. Trust me. Why are you afraid? I'm in the boat. Why are you afraid? I'm on the throne. Why are we afraid? Lord, make me large faith. Lord, make me a mega apostoi. Because, sixthly, trials are a gauge of our faith. They reveal where we are. Where were they? They were little. You see, a trial is a gauge. You ever read your oil dipstick? Have you read your oil dipstick lately? You better. You don't want it to drop too far below that bottom line. So you go in there. Most of the time it's so dark in there you need a flashlight. You go in there, and when's the last time you read it? It's a gauge of where your oil is. How about your tires? You check your tire pressure lately? You test them, and it shows you where they are. They should be between 30 and 35. We have gauges. Storm is our oil gauge. Wind, persecution, health, wealth, all these are gauges. They reveal where we are. They're the litmus test. In the pool, you check for chlorine and you check for pH. You better have them in the right levels, or you'll have a lot of frogs if the chlorine is not there, or you might burn yourself if the chlorine's too high. The trials are gauges. And I tell you what, to say this to the Lord tells me I'm real little faith. Carest thou not that we perish? Have you ever said that to Jesus? Don't you care? Don't you care if I'm going to die? Don't you care, Lord, that I'm afraid? That's quite an indictment. But I'm not looking down my nose when I say that, because I've said that, if not in words. In other words, they're saying, doesn't it matter to you? It's the word that Jesus says, a hireling doesn't care for the sheep. You're calling me a hireling by telling me that I don't care for my sheep. I'm not in it for what I get. I gave to save you. Acts 18, Gallio didn't care that they beat Crispus. He didn't care that he was being beaten to a pulp. But that guy ended up getting saved. God used. But Gallio didn't care. 1 Peter 5, 7. He careth for you. Mark 12, I like this one. And it doesn't say that Jesus is careless. It says, it's quite a compliment when they mean it as a flattery. They said, you care for no man. You speak the truth. What a passage on the boldness of Christ. He wasn't flattered and he was not afraid of anybody. He would say, you go tell Herod that fox. He cannot touch me in the day. The day's coming, the night's coming when I'm going to be arrested. Jesus could face people. Look at John the Baptist. Face the king. Thou must not have your brother Philip's wife. But one of the most courageous scenes in the Bible is Micaiah. Ahab put him in jail. And Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, let's go to war together up at Ramoth Gilead against the Syrians. Will you go with me? I will. And all the prophets, the false prophets said, go up, go up. God will deliver it into your hands. And Jehoshaphat shouldn't have been compromising, but he said, don't you have a real prophet here? Don't you have a prophet of the Lord here? I think it's 1 Kings 22. And Ahab said, yeah, but I hate him. He always speaks negatively about me. Go get him. Micaiah, taken out of prison, and even the guard that's bringing him out says, all the prophets are speaking well about this battle. You speak like they. What a bold man, he says. What the Lord saith, that will I speak. And then he comes out, and all the fanfare, the pomp and pageantry, they're seated at the gate, two thrones on their in their robes, and all these prophets around them, and all their bodyguards. What an electrified atmosphere. And here comes Micaiah, bold as a lion. Micaiah, what's the word? Go up. Even so poised that he would use sarcasm before the king. Go up, you're going to win. And Ahab turns to Jehoshaphat. Didn't I tell you? And he says, I saw the Lord speaking to the prophets or the spirits around him. One spirit said, I'll go up and deceive Ahab by the false prophets. He'll fall at Ramoth Gilead. And the king says, take him back to prison and feed him with meager fare until I return. And you can see Micaiah being whisked away. By the Lord of hosts, I swear to you, if you return, that I have not had a word from God. And he's off. What a bold man. Why didn't any of us name our sons Micaiah? You ever heard of Micaiah? It's one of the greatest scenes of a bold man of God in the Bible. Trials are a gauge of our faith. Oh God, give me the faith of Micaiah. Seventh, there aren't 20 points. Seventh, trials are an occasion to glorify God. I say they feared Jesus more than they feared the storm at the end of the day. The Bible says that Jesus stood up and he rebuked the winds and the sea. And there was a great calm. And it doesn't say an hour took place before the rebuke. How often does it take? How long does it take for a huge body of water to go from raging to glass? Hours? The Bible says that there became a great calm. Just like Jonah. I was going to actually have us read Jonah 1 this afternoon. And I forgot. But what does it say after the storm? And this was the storm on a lake. Jonah was on the Mediterranean Sea. Let me just read the brief portion in Jonah chapter 1. Bible tells us that when they took up Jonah and cast him into the sea ceased from her raging. This is the Mediterranean Sea, hundreds of feet deep, many miles long and many miles wide. Tell me, is not Jesus the Lord? Is not Jesus God? This is Jehovah stilling the Mediterranean Sea. And it's the Lord Jehovah, the Son of God, stilling the Sea of Galilee. What's the reaction? Matthew says the men marveled. Luke says they were afraid. But Mark, everyone has their different information. Put it all together. Mark says they feared exceedingly. Oh, that I would fear God more than anything else in the world. Moses said to the people at Mount Sinai, when Mount Sinai was shaking, it says they feared and they said, "Speak thou with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die." Tell me, is not that what they're saying, as it were? But they're more afraid of the storm that's going to cause them to die. But the Lord says, I'm going to make them fear me more than the storm. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear not. For God has come to prove you, and that His fear may be before your faces." Not this fear, because you're going to have mountains shaking and seas raging and people fuming. But if you fear God above them all, they will be pygmies before you. Trials are an occasion to glorify God. What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey Him? It says they said one to another. And the wording is, it's in an imperfect tense, which means it's happening the whole way before they get to shore. The shock of the power and deity of Jesus Christ saturated their minds, occupied their souls for the rest of that voyage. Who then is this one that He commands the winds and the water and they obey Him? What a scene. But yet, we can all experience it. Illness cease from fear, from making him, her afraid. The Lord can still every single storm and cause you and me to fear Him above all. Who is a God like unto thee that pardons iniquity and passes by the remnant of the heritage, remnant of His heritage? I love Nahum 1:3. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and the storm, in the clouds of the dust of His feet. Amen. Jesus is that Lord that has His way. Notice He doesn't say, "Father, stop the storm." Other places He prayed for the Father. Here He says, He commands the storm. He doesn't pray for the Father to do it. He does it by His own power, because He is Jehovah. And finally, it's easy to miss this. Trials are part of the progress on our journey toward heaven. Do you notice the last verse that I read? How does it associate with this thought? Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 in verse 26. How does this relate? They arrived at the country of the Gadarenes. They arrived at the next part of God's will. Storm didn't stop them from doing God's will. It may have been a little bit delayed. They went to the next spot where they were supposed to go. Jesus said, "Let us go over to the other side." It didn't force Jesus to the northwest section of the lake. He said, "Let's go over," and they wanted to go southeast. They got to the southeast part. The storm didn't delay, didn't alter their progress. They got there. The trials are all part of our progress. They're the stage in our development of the forward movement toward heaven. Whether it's a calm or a rough boat ride. Don't miss it. They arrived at the country of the Gadarenes. From the deep sea to the land. He's Lord of all. He reigns. Mark 5 speaks about Jesus muzzling the waves and the sea. The water becoming now in total repose. Jesus can still the storm. My prayer is, Lord, still me. Amen. What does Psalm 46 say?
Be still.
Be still. Be still. Be still. And know that I am God. Be still, my soul. But we're going to sing, Master, the tempest is raging. Not only still the storm, but still me. Or even, can we pray, Lord, don't still the storm. Still me. I like how Peter prayed. We often mock him for sinking. But Peter said, Lord, bid me to come out. Or bid me to walk. He didn't say, Lord, calm the sea. He said, bid me to come out on the waves. Are we able to pray, Lord, still the storm according to your will, whenever you will, just increase my faith in the storm. Amen. Let me face the storm, Lord. We're all going to face storms. And the last great storm, death is staring us in the face. How are we going to act? Master, I'm perishing. Or Jesus. Jesus, meet me there. Jesus, still my heart. Lord, we thank Thee that You are the Lord of glory, the Lord of the air, the land, and the sea, and that You're the Lord of all creatures, the Lord of angels and the Lord of men. You are our Lord. We pray that You would still us, we pray. Still us in our battle. Still us on the sea of life. Still us in persecution. Still us in war. Still us in sickness. Still us in trials. Still us in temptations. Still us in apostasy. Still us, Lord, before Thee. Still us when the love of many waxes cold. May our love wax hot. Hear our prayers. Make us no longer, O we of little faith. May You say, Lord, O You of great faith, we pray in Your name. Amen.
Master, the tempest is raging.